for the text of a message. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do not do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? That is, on the Sabbath day they have to work in the temple, and they have to circumcise a male child which falls on the eighth day, and that was a Sabbath. They did not commit any wrong. But I say unto you that in this place is now greater than the temple. Jesus, the Son of God, is over the Sabbath. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." The title of my message for short is "Sabbath Keeping That Strangles." To make it more sharp, instead of "Sabbath Keeping That Sparkles," makes our Lord's Day a very happy day, it is a Sabbath that restricts us and ties us down and burdens us, that strangles. Well, the meaning of the word Sabbath, Hebrew word, simply means rest. And the Sabbath in the Old Testament was kept on the seventh day, which is Saturday. But in the New Testament, the Lord and the disciples have changed it to the first day of the week, which is Sunday, and called the Lord's Day. This is a day of rest, and it extends to everyone in the family, big or small, to the domestic helps. If you have domestic helps, you should try to share the burden and not just keep on putting it on them. You should let them come to church also. And it extends to the gardeners, both men and women servants. And it also extends to the cattle. If you have a bullock cart, this day your ox will only have a good time eating grass and chewing the cud. The bullock will not pull the cud according to the great God, Father of all. See how wonderfully he makes it for the enjoyment of everybody, even the animals. And because of this holy rest that is imposed, then it fits in with our Lord's Day worship that is commanded in Hebrews 10:25, not to neglect the assembling of ourselves. And so, when we come to church and we rest from 6 days of weary work, our bodies and souls, and we seek Him lovingly in worship, isn't a wonderful time, the best day of the week? Keeping Sabbath on the Lord's Day, in bodily rest and spiritual rest and worship, makes it the day that we all look forward to during the week. Did you come to church this morning with an expectant heart and to hear the Word of God that instructs us week after week to excellence? Or do some young people here attend church because your parents command you, and it is an irksome thing? Well, if you grow up to be like that, you will be lost in the world. And when you do not attend church and drift farther away from God, you will be at the mercy of all the wicked and the forces of Satan, and you may be drawn finally to perdition, even away from your salvation. But we thank God that this is the best day of the week. And at this moment, I would like us to sing 85 again, the first verse, and I want you to meditate on the meaning of each word, just only the first verse. O day of rest and gladness. And the tune is very fitting, which is meditative. Very much, and with my many burdens and troubles upon my heart, I can come to church and in holy worship be unburdened from my sins and all the things that plague me. It is a wonderful blessing. I believe the way we keep the Sabbath on the Lord's Day and we rest from our labors and we do not make this day like a secular day to wash my car, to go to market since I have no time on Saturday even, let us not do these things, but give the whole day to rest and worship and meditation. And I believe this is in the will of the Lord, which Sabbath He kept, and He was not tied down like the Pharisees who kept it beyond even the legal requirement. In their own man-made regulations. For example, when they kept the Sabbath, they kept it so tightly that it is now copied by the Orthodox Jews in our day. They are like the Pharisees. And so they say, Sabbath must be such a day of rest that you cannot even cook your meals. So you must cook a big pot of food and then have a little fire to warm it up by Friday evening, 6 o'clock. Because they keep their Sabbath from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Friday evening to Saturday evening. And because there was one instance in the Bible of a Hebrew picking up firewood on Sabbath day and was stoned by the word of God to Moses. But he was stoned not because he broke the Sabbath. He was stoned because the Bible says he presumptuously. In other words, it was just promulgated, but he just didn't care. Elsewhere, they broke the Sabbath law, but they were not stoned. But this man, at the very beginning of the promulgation of the Sabbath law, he presumptuously, but they interpreted that now it is so strict, you cannot do anything in regard to fire. So, in order not to be involved in lighting a fire or switching on the electricity, they have a time clock at what time they gauge they'll go to bed, the light will go off, at what time the next morning they'll arise, they'll tune the clock in that way to make it so strict that really you cannot keep it meticulously. Now we come to the text of message. While Jesus kept the Sabbath in a very practical way, allowing the disciples who were hungry to pick up ears of corn and even to grind them in the hands to eat. And the Pharisees criticized. This is work, to grind the ears of corn in the hand. And they accused the disciples before our Lord and Savior. But Jesus told them, have you not heard about David and his followers? How they were hungry and they came to the house of God, and the priest, who had nothing to offer him, gave him the sacred bread, the show bread to eat, which was usually eaten by priests. And Jesus said, here is one who is greater than the temple, the Son of God, who allows the disciples to pluck the ears of corn and to eat them along the way. I'd rather have mercy than sacrifice. Here is a case of human need. Just like David was hungry, he ate the showbread, which was only allowed to the priest. But David, because of human necessity, did it and he was blameless. So my disciples are also guiltless. And our Lord went on to give another wonderful sentence, which is recorded in Mark chapter 2. For the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to regulate us that we may rest from our labors, but not to the extent of no exceptions. In time of great need, there is always the higher law of a special need that overrides the law of a general precept. And so they kept on badgering our Lord, particularly on the Sabbath day when our Savior healed the sick. Then Jesus gave them a very good lesson. Suppose your animal fall into the ditch on the Sabbath day. And you say, well, today is Sabbath, we cannot do anything. Wait until the Sabbath is over. Do we do that? Somebody has fallen into a well and it is coming up to the chest on the Lord's day. And you say, wait until the Sabbath is over, then tomorrow we'll save him. That is, again, very absurd. You quickly save him. Don't you do that? And so, Jesus sets us a wonderful example. Now, apart from accusing them of working the Saturday by rubbing the ears upon their hands, we notice that they did this while they were traveling. They were eating outside of the house, and usually they cook their food by Friday evening and they keep it warm by a little light and they dish it out to eat in their homes. Jesus allows them to eat out in the field. So we ask this group of young people that broke away from this church, when they began to give many rules of Sabbath keeping, and they say life church is wrong in not following these rules. Well, I give them an example. I preach here at 8 a.m. in the morning, and I have an appointment in Ayabemban, Johor, you know about our branch church there, at 3 o'clock. So I rush to take a bus, and by 1 a.m. I arrive at the Johor Bahru bus terminal. And down there they have all the food stalls for travelers. Can I buy a sandwich and a Coke to eat while waiting for the Johor bus to take me to Ayabemban? They say no. You must eat at home. Our lifestyle is quite different, I observe. In our days, my wife would cook every meal. Today, many times they do not cook. And young couples who work in the government or in the office, they are so overworked that they have no time to come home and make a meal themselves, so they eat outside. That is a new pattern of living. Can we therefore eat outside too? Not to say merely going to Ayabemban Johor to preach, but even to go to the Newton stalls after service. And sometimes I meet some of you and we all say, hello, welcome. I don't accuse you. How is it you are coming here to eat? It's on me. And not because to exonerate myself that I give them my blessing, but that is our interpretation of the law of Sabbath, and that is followed greatly in America. In Holland, maybe they have some of these who are very strict Sabbath keepers. But we gauge that they are all Gentiles, and to them they have no Sabbath law. In our case, it is also Sabbath for us not to be engaged in cooking, and we can rest, expect our wives may not cook for us, so we all go and eat together. It is a very fine idea. But sorry to say, they will still, you have still broken the Sabbath law. Because you caused them to break the Sabbath for yourself. But the Gentiles do not know any Sabbath law. They don't break any law. They break the law of not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the greatest law. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be condemned. Well, let me give you an illustration. 51 years ago, Reverend Kwek Chok Chiang and myself, we were attending the International Council of Churches Conference in Amsterdam, not in Amsterdam, but in America, but we came to Amsterdam to take a plane. It happened to be the Lord's Day. And we wanted to go to church, but there was no tram, no bus. The Dutch were very strict Sabbath keepers 51 years ago. But 1998, I was in Amsterdam, all the buses and the trams were running. They had become more caught up like Singapore. Works of necessity, works of human necessity and essentialness can be maintained according to what Jesus said to the Pharisees in regard to the disciples eating on the Sabbath day and plucking the ears of corn. So this young group has now some problem. To them, you must keep the Sabbath so accurately, so minutely, that I hear that they have a problem solving how they may go to church, or else they've got to walk 7 miles, I guess. To push it to the very limit, when their wives are giving birth on the Lord's Day, the husbands must go there lovingly, whisper to the wives, please hold on a bit until Monday, because you're working now. Well, I cracked this joke in my treatment of the problem, but there is quite a lot of sense in it. If you would like to press the uttermost, you can do nothing. And if a Singapore government were a Christian government like the Dutch in those early days, they might as well shut down the power station. There is no electricity. And all your food will spoil. Your medicine in the fridge will become bad. You're flying through the air and you cross the international deadline and it's Sunday now. Can you say, well, let's switch off the engine and all go to rest? You cannot. There are exceptions they don't see. In the same way, I would like to treat with a very vital and common problem that is being not solved by them, but being attacked. And that is the matter of a young people studying on the Lord's Day to prepare for the final exams that come on Monday. And a couple who is very zealous in the study of God's Word complain to me that they have a hard time to solve this problem. I said, don't worry, when I preach on the Sabbath, I will discuss this problem with you. Ordinarily, I would say, church attendance is a must because it's commanded in Hebrews 10:25, but we must come here with gladness and not with a burden. So young people themselves should gladly come to church, not because the parents command them, but because they come to worship the Lord themselves. Ordinarily, I would not recommend to study on the Lord's Day, but rather prepare well, and because there are no exams, it is alright. Even if you don't study your lessons, you can catch up. But when exams come, it's an emergency. It's a very special condition, like the disciples going through the field, and they were hungry. In that case, I would prescribe that they do not take off the whole Lord's Day, but they must all the more come to church to ask the Lord's blessing and for success. Then, after having paid their obeisance and worship to the Lord when they go home, and having asked the Lord's blessing, you may then study for your exam that falls on Monday. And I give you from my own experience, my own testimony. Now I've got into the habit of writing out my message, sermons from Matthew, in order that they may be published in the book. And usually I meditate the whole week on this passage. And when I come to Saturday evening, all my thoughts are gelled and they are comprehensively gathered, then I write out my sermon. And sometimes, to even focus it more sharply, I wait until Sunday morning to write it on the back of an envelope, to make it very brief and very easy to read, to guide. Then I hear them criticize. You have got 6 whole days to prepare your sermon, and then you come and break the Sabbath. Now I'm preaching, I'm breaking the Sabbath, am I not? I'm working. Well, I say, I don't have as much a powerful memory as you people. And as I get older, it becomes hazier. I need to put down in very clear and sharp forms. And the most important time is 1 hour before service. From 9:30 to 10:30 is my crucial hour. But some people will come and see me, you know, at 10 o'clock and knock on my door. Please do not do that, because it will spoil my sermon. I need that time to concentrate, to memorize the main points, that I may be able to preach well to you. But they criticize me. You have 6 days of the week and you should have got everything done. That is not the way of cooking either. In going to market, you spend 3 days and you gather all the food, and you don't cook 2 days before the feast. You wait until the final hour and makan time comes. Then they cook, and it's very hot and tasty. Serve on the right time. In the same way, to serve with a sermon, I need that very precious time. This is an illustration for our poor young people. They have to struggle hard. They cannot be studying 2 days ahead and they say, alright, we know. but they need to refresh the mind at the last hour. And I believe that the Lord will say, yes, young people, I bless you. You come to church and you worship me and you seek my face. Now do your best. I will help you. I believe that's the way. And so the matter of eating outside, they make an absolute rule. The matter of studying, they say you cannot study absolutely on the Lord's Day. I say can, because it is to face an examination and you need to refresh your mind. Sabbath keeping in Life Church is that we don't miss our Sunday service. Now some of you come on and off, and that's not good. Every Sunday we must be here. And we give the whole day to meditative work, visiting the sick as commanded in the Westminster Confession, doing some good, something good for the Lord Jesus Christ at least once a week, and that pleases the Lord. Then they have another requirement. You have to have two services. The evening service is to prove that you have kept the whole week. And in America, I have seen them. In the morning, maybe 100 people come. In the evening, maybe only 10 or 20. And they still keep to the old practice. That means they then have kept the whole Lord's Day. I have got a superior practice, not my own, not from Dr. John Sung. You people have heard the sermon and have learned the word. Sunday afternoon, you go and evangelize, go and preach. And I believe that is a better way to have a good sermon than to have two half-baked sermons. And so, because of this John Sung example, we have started an evangelistic band, and all those who can do that, especially young people going tracking house by house, they have done a much better job than just merely going to a Sunday evening service. Of course, this in no way hits at Calvary Pandan Sunset Gospel Hour. There are many of us who have nothing to do. It's good for us to go and hear the word, because they have the best speakers on the panel. And I encourage you to do that. But what I mean to say, if you don't go to the sunset hour, then you are guilty. The Lord is not legalistic and demanding. Let us say someone who is applying and he has just come back from his work. He's very tired. He might have to sleep 2 days. What's wrong for him to sleep after service throughout the whole afternoon? Let me confess to you. At my age, of course, I'm not as strong as in those days. In those days, I preached three sermons every day, every Sunday. I was the only pastor, and we had three churches, Life, Galilee, and Jurong. Now I'm not able to do that. Sunday afternoon is my Sabbath sleep. So you don't knock on my door. To recuperate from all the energy that I spent on Sunday morning. And yet, many times I'm engaged in the Sunday evening. At the Sunday Gospel, where I rest enough and then I go and preach. The Lord surely will take care of our young people who come to church regularly and they seek Him. Why won't the Lord give him that special time to prepare for his exam on Monday? I believe that is a correct interpretation. Let us spend our Sabbath, keep our Sabbath sparklingly. We sparkle with life and joy. It's really a joy to go to church on Sunday, particularly to hear the Word of God preached to us, and not to be so legalistic. You cannot do this, you can't do that. You have broken the law, you have displeased the Lord in all these things. Keeping Sabbath that sparkles. Not keeping Sabbath that strangles. Let us pray. O Lord, help us to keep the Lord's Day in your way, not to wash cars and go to market, but to come and worship and rest our tired bodies, that we may be refreshed for the next week, and to do something good for you in works of mercy. Help us even to attend the sunset gospel hour when we have nothing to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.